Right now on VFN TV, we're going to be talking about the National Day of Prayer on May the 4th. Thousands, 40 to 45,000 events are taking place in America. In addition, we're going to look at a Barna survey that says many people are growing, many Americans are growing and say they love Jesus, but they don't love going to church. We're going to look at those stats right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
What Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence. And God put a mercy visit instead. He put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no. There's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns it back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year.
Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made himself, made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well. And ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president, I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
It got repaired as soon as I took the
5 minutes?
Yeah, it's repaired.
I've known the president, and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their home. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. in 1955. He told the world, we are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Do you know every single year there is a National Day of Prayer in America? Well, this National Day of Prayer is going to be on May the 4th. May the 4th. Make sure you want to be a part of that. But over 40 to 45,000 events are taking place in America, all across America, praying for America. And this is such a powerful, powerful time. Now, did you know there's a law, a specific law in America that says the president must dedicate the first Thursday of May as a national day of prayer, of coming together, of repentance, and coming to our churches, and coming together in groups, and coming together as individuals to just humble ourselves and pray? I believe it began during the time of President Abraham Lincoln, but it's been every year since then, and it's happening right now. Make sure you're going to be a part of that. This is Pastor Tony Evans even talking about it. Take a look.
This is Dr. Tony Evans with the Urban Alternative, and I want to challenge churches all over America to become part of the National Day of Prayer. If there was ever a day when God's people needed to grab a hold of God and to invite his manifest presence back into our midst, today is that day. In every direction we look in our culture, chaos has taken control. And when God is dismissed from a culture, that vacuum is filled by evil. So it is incumbent upon God's people, through whom he has determined to express his presence, to make contact with him in unity, on one accord. So you and your church need to get involved and make your voices heard on earth, inviting heaven in our midst to turn around a culture in chaos. The National Day of Prayer needs you.
This is so important for us to be able to get involved. Listen, God, you know, so often you hear so much information that the enemy convinces you that God's not going to hear you. Listen, God not only hears you, he knows everything about you. And he sees you turn your heart. He sees you call out to him. He sees you pray. As a matter of fact, this year's particular theme for the National Day of Prayer is for you are great and do it for his name's sake. He says, hear us, forgive us, and heal us. It's taken from Daniel 9:19, which says, O Lord, listen, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hear and act for your sake, O my God. And isn't that amazing that if we just turn to him, and you look at, you know, Psalms 9, when he talks about the nations that forgot God and left God, that's when difficult things happen. But if we remember God and we turn back to God and we pray to God, that causes our nation to be blessed. And of all the times that we need to pray for our nation, now is the time. Because what we have, what took place just recently in the last 90 days or so, God gave us a window of time. I mean, prophecy says these things are going to happen. Difficult times are going to come. But he's given us a window of time as America in the world for us to be able to stand up as believers and turn to him in a window of blessing. You know, great wealth is going to be transferred into the kingdom of God to be able to advance the kingdom of God and to be able to bring in the great harvest that Pastor John Kilpatrick heard that word. The great wealth transfer is coming to the church for the harvest. But we got to have wisdom for that. We don't want to miss that word. And one way we can do that is participate in the National Day of Prayer. So take the time to do that. We get back from this break, though. We're going to hear from Ann Graham Lotz, and she's going to be speaking to us. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Welcome back. John, isn't this exciting, man, the National Day of Prayer?
It is so exciting because it reminds me of 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yes.
If my people will humble themselves and pray. We focus a lot on the praying part. We need to humble ourselves, too, before the Lord.
And we also think about other people and saying they're our problem. Yeah. And he's saying, no, just if his people.
Yeah.
Which means we can be prideful and be one of God's people.
Absolutely.
But we can humble ourselves and pray and turn from
our wicked ways.
But I thought they were our problem.
No, this
is all about personal relationship with God.
Yeah. Remember, it reminds me of the time when we had the chance to actually do that in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
We went with the million men to pray in the nation's
mall.
Stand
in the gap for Promise Keepers. It was... did you ever make it to the mall?
Yes, I made it to the mall. Yes. I was ministering to a group of men. Yes, but we made it.
Your hotel was right by the mall. We were in Maryland or something.
It's called Patience. Strategic Patience. That's what it was.
Was that an awesome moment? Because we had over a million men from the church all over the place, all over America, probably the world. And we were coming to stand in the gap. President Bill Clinton was president at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine true million people on the mall, and we had monitrons throughout the place that you could see what was going on. And Bill Clinton got in his helicopter, the presidential helicopter, and flew around us.
Yeah.
And just flew off. But he had a great opportunity to come down and pray with us.
Historic. It's never been done before. 1 million believing men, Christians, but I don't even think it's been men or women, a group that size, coming together for that purpose.
It was so powerful that it was like heaven. Because we're riding in subway trains coming to the city. We're just millions of men coming in the city. And so we're on a train. And if Steve's watching this from Northern Alabama, his little red fanny pack and this thing's head always had, it was funny. Anyway, so these men were all on these, just packing these trains. We're packing these subway areas and then staircases going up. And they're singing Amazing Grace. It's echoing through the thing. It's like, man, this is like heaven.
Yeah.
It was like heaven.
Yeah.
Then we got out there on the mall. And you're probably seeing it right now. This is a picture of us, you know, standing in the gap right there, maybe an arrow pointing down where we were.
I gotta give you some extra pictures of that event. Remind me to get
you were
some
like
pictures.
Way back by the Washington Monument, and we were like, we were serious about to do it. Anyways, but remember how the holy hush, you know, a million men were on the mall. It was like a holy hush. And as we're all just put our face into the ground and said, God, forgive us. Forgive us for our sin. Forgive us for the sin of our nation. And that it was
powerful.
I mean, you know, it's hard to get a family to be quiet enough, you know, just around a table. But a million men, you could hear a pin drop as we just buried our face in the sand and we repented, you know, for the sin that was in our nation and what was taking place in ourselves as well. And it was just so powerful. And I just hope we can do that again. But this is the National Day of Prayer. This is when I bet 40 to 45,000, you know...
events nationwide. First Thursday of every May. And it's pretty awesome that the law requires that whoever's president.
It's in the law. It says
it's the law.
Yeah.
He has to declare the National Day of Prayer.
First Thursday of May.
Amazing. You know, what's really cool about it is that we're just not praying in our nation, but now there's other nations in the world, around the world, that are actually praying for America.
We found out in the last 8 years how significant America is to the other nations.
Yeah.
Because if we go dark, the whole world goes dark.
That's right.
And if you look, they try to compare us to other nations, but you look at, you know,
really
Russia's half our population. Yeah. You know, Spain is like 80 million, something like that. But it's just small numbers. And we're 300 and something million folks, huge economy, powerful military, and historically stood for Israel and stood for justice and the, you know, and rights. And Australia has and are joining us.
Yes.
And they're thank God. Thank you, Australia.
Yes.
Thank you, other nations that are praying for us. Thank you, China. The church in China is praying for us. And we need your prayers. I know that America acts like we don't need it. We need your prayers. And we know that God will hear, you know, your prayers. As a matter of fact, this is Australia right now talking about it.
G'day, my name is Warwick Marsh, part of the team of Australia's National Day of Prayer and Fasting. And together with other international prayer leaders, we are calling for 5 days of prayer and fasting for America from the 30th of April right through to the 4th of May 2017. God has done great things as we prayed for America, and God can do even greater things as we continue to pray for America at this time. Last year, we had people from over 45 nations join us in prayer for America. This year, we are believing for over 100 nations. We in Australia believe it is our turn to stand in the gap for the nation of America and pray for revival and transformation for the USA through prayer and fasting, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. We in Australia are grateful that America stood in the gap for Australia and the nations of the free world during World War II and many times since, right up to this day. Thank God for America. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th President of the United States of America, said, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day." Abraham Lincoln proved he believed in these words when on the 30th of April, 1863, he called for a day of humiliation, prayer, and fasting at a time of great national crisis by governmental decree with the following words: "And whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behoves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Unfortunately today, America again is in great crisis because it has forgotten God. America is in danger from within and from without. Unfortunately, Australia is in much the same condition and the much the same crisis. We have forgotten God and we are paying the price. The good news is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We need revival and reformation. We need what we cannot do. We need God. We invite you to join with us in 5 days of prayer and fasting for the USA from April 30th, which is America's National Day of Repentance, to the 4th of May 2017, which is America's National Day of Prayer. The theme for America's National Day of Prayer on the 4th of May 2017 is, for your great name's sake, hear us, forgive us, and heal us. Thank you for praying and fasting for America. Together we can make a difference.
This is so awesome when you have other countries. I'm so grateful.
Yes.
For other countries praying for us. So Australia, we are grateful for you. For Spain that's praying for us. For Israel that's praying for us. For Mexico that's praying for us. For China's big time praying for us. It's They're amazing. Praying that we get humbled so that we wouldn't go out. You know, thank you, China. We appreciate that prayer. I mean, that's obviously humility. You know, Anne Graham Lotz is not the president. She is the
chairperson
for this year's National Day of Prayer. Make sure it's going to be tomorrow. I believe it is. It's on May the 4th. So make sure, you know, you find out what's going on. You can find out details at VFNTV.com. But here is Anne Graham Lotz. She's the daughter of Billy Graham, the sister of Franklin Graham, and a godly, godly woman. Take a look.
I'm Anne Graham Lotz, chairperson of the National Day of Prayer. I'm so grateful for this privilege, because if ever we needed to pray for our nation, it's now. Our situation today is similar to one we find in the Old Testament. God's people had disobeyed him, rebelled against him, and defied him, provoking his severe judgment. He sent in the Babylonians, who broke down the walls of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and took the nation of Judah into captivity. 67 years later, one of the captives who had risen to the heights of leadership under Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, followed by the Medes and Persians, was a man named Daniel. He writes in the Old Testament book by his name that he was reading God's word according to Jeremiah when he discovered a promise that after 70 years, God would set the captives free on one condition, that they would seek God with all of their hearts. Daniel responded to the promise he read in Jeremiah by holding God to his word with a very powerful prayer that's recorded in Daniel chapter 9, a prayer that moved heaven and changed not only his nation, but that of the nation in which he had been held captive. I, too, have been reading God's word. I've read in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that God has promised, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. The theme for the National Day of Prayer this year blends 2 Chronicles 7:14 with Daniel's prayer in chapter 9, verse 19. For your great name's sake, hear us, forgive us, heal us. All of us can agree that our nation needs healing, and God promises to do so, but on the condition that we pray humbly, seek his face, and turn from our own sin. Will America be healed? We won't know until we join together and pray. So please, join me in prayer on behalf of America. Invite others to join us. Host a National Day of Prayer event. Attend the national observance in Washington, D.C. on May 4th, or the event that will be held in your own area. Learn more about the National Day of Prayer by visiting www.nationaldayofprayer.org. And God bless you. And God bless America.
So we got to get it charged. I mean, God is already shifting us. He's moving us. But we have to participate in our deliverance.
Yeah.
You know, I just had a time to be able to share about Deborah and, you know, the Judge Deborah, who was the leader of God's people during a real rough time under oppression of the Philistines, right? And God gave a word for deliverance, and God's given us a word for deliverance, but they had to participate in it. They had actually participated in it. The lead general's name was Barak, and she was telling him, this is what God says, and he wasn't sure about it. And so he said, you know, I'll go if you go. And this big long story is that fact is everybody had to fight for their freedom. Mm. And we're not necessarily talking a physical fight, but although there's soldiers right now fighting for our freedom right now across the globe. We have sailors and Marines going to Australia and going to the China Sea. They're physically there for us. So sometimes it takes physical force. And so we have to participate. One way we do that, participate, is to pray. Just pray. It says that we acknowledge you. We acknowledge who we are in the sight of you. Lord, we need your guidance. We need your forgiveness. And God is quick to forgive. He's just waiting for us to say what is wrong.
Yeah.
And then pray for our nation. Don't be in agreement with all these people that are speaking against our president, speaking against our nation. We have to pray for our president. Pray for our nation. You don't want our own mouths to be able to take it down. But listen, we get back from this break. We're going to talk about, you know, how the statistics are coming out right now from the Barna Group saying that people are saying they love Jesus, but they just don't love, I guess, church, the building expression, the way things are going on. And we're excited about that because we know that God's not pulling them out. He's taking them in to a new expression, how people want authentic relationships with God. And we shared a word with from James Gall that God showed him in this vision. They said, well, how are we going to do this? And that was the question he asked in this vision. And James Gall told him, said, we're going to do this through relationship, you know, and have
love.
We do it through love and family. And that's one thing we're doing. And we're going to encourage you by you attending a Vine seminar. If you attend a Vine seminar, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com. My mouth's not catching up with myself today. Go to VFNTV.com, look for events, and sign up. And once those numbers are full, we always kick off a Vine seminar, and we'll tell you what God's told us. We'll share with you wisdom on how you can begin to move ahead prophetically about what God's doing. Because God wants, we got the Bible back, but now God wants his church back. He wants an intimate relationship with you. That's why you praying for National Day of Prayer, it's significant. God cares about you, and he cares about you responding. I have this offer for you. It is a very timely offer. It is wisdom from the Lord. The Lord revealed to me about the digital divide. Can you imagine if somebody told you, listen, if you can go find 120 acres, whatever it was, if you find 120 acres and you mark it off and you build a house on it and you grow a farm on it, I'll give it to you. I mean, how many people would go and do that? Well, that's how the West was won. They had to go across the Great Divide. They had to go west of the Mississippi. That happened in America. I mean, if you're listening to us or watching us in California and Washington, Oregon, Colorado, I mean, all these, North Dakota, South Dakota, the only reason that happened, the only reason you happened, that state, is because people were willing to cross the divide and go and do what had to, they called it the manifest destiny at the time. And that was the name of an angel going out before them. You got to see that program. We did a great program on that. Actually, this is it. You got to see this. This is it. And they had this angel just putting down this wire, which was the teletype system going out. And of course, now everything goes over that wire. This is awesome. You got to get it. We just want to give it to you. We want to send it to you for your partnership of any amount whatsoever. As a matter of fact, here are the details to be able to do that.
2031, the digital divide. Making sense of our new digital culture. Where do Christians fit in this digital age in our culture? We are without a doubt at a point with technology which is like the continental divide in America. Which way will the water decide to go after coming all the way from Canada? Will it go east or will it go west? In this message, we'll take a raw look at the facts, such as Oxford saying 47% of jobs are at risk because of technology taking those jobs from truck driving to service jobs, to what one says is 15% of all the jobs on the earth. You'll be enlightened with God's word and how to look at the age in which we now live, and you'll learn how to approach it from a kingdom perspective. If you've been confused and not sure of how to approach this age of technology, you'll gain a clear direction. And I believe your mind will be transformed in how to operate in such a time and age. It's vital to have this wisdom. For we are close to the end times becoming now times, one of which is to do with technology and a beast economy and how we do business in the world. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV, that's 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2031, The Digital Divide, making sense of our new digital culture.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So what happens is I'm doing the family devotionals and I'm speaking, and you know, at that time I was probably speaking to a quarter of a million kids, high school kids, as a youth speaker. So I think I'm doing pretty good for the 9, 7, and 5 year old. And Kathy goes, "Hey, no offense." And whenever my wife says no offense, that's
there's a problem.
But the girls are bored.
When your child checks out of devotions, it might be time to shake things up, as Jim Burns shares on this Focus on the Family Minute.
And so being the good passive-aggressive husband father, I said, fine, you know, you take over. So she did a play with the girls, and she cheated because she had chocolate and licorice for a 5, 7, and 9 year old. So she brings that together, and then they chose to act out the story of Adam and Eve. Well, you know what? She won big time, and she actually taught me a great lesson that my girls could still want to do something with the Word of God, but they just didn't want to hear Jim saying, here's 3 points and here's what the Greek says.
Sometimes the best family devotions are spontaneous. Jim Burns has more at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
How did a Wilberforce change the culture of the plausibility of slavery? How did Martin Luther King rail against the horrific practice of racial prejudice and so on? Reformers will come on the scene. You know, G.K. Chesterton made the comment that tolerance is really the creed of a person who doesn't believe anything. And in many ways, that's what is supposedly happening. So the first thing I think is somebody will emerge. I think the second thing is I still have confidence in our youth, even though they may be a minority. I think these things will change one person at a time. When Jesus came into the scene in the incarnation, his whole message was not tolerated. How did he do it? Won them one person at a time, and ultimately after the collapse of Rome and Christendom taking over the world, the history of the world changed. But I think it's going to be a steep climb.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. National Day of Prayer. Make sure you connect. It's May the 4th.
Yes.
Happens every year. It's in the law. And we're thankful for everybody that's praying for us and praying for America and praying with us. What's Lifeway saying here, John?
Lifeway just came out with a new research.
That's a Christian bookseller.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. They just came out with the new research, a new poll. Mm-hmm. And what they're stating, based in an article in the Christian Post, is that 1 in 5 Americans have read the entire Bible, and most call it a good source for morals.
So you pull that image down. So you're looking at that they did a survey.
Right.
How many people have read the Bible all the way through?
Well, they let
That's
us
what they're
know
saying.
About
they're
that.
Saying 1 in 5.
Yeah.
1 in 5 has read it all the way through.
Right, correct.
But how many people today, I mean, this culture today, how many people have read a book?
Not many.
Yeah, right.
In fact, they say if you read, after graduating high school, most people won't read a book in a complete book in 10 years or something like that.
You read a book in high school?
No, after graduating high school. College. I kind of skimmed through the
pages.
Do
you remember the first day in college? Like, oh my goodness.
Are they serious? Can I read this?
Yeah, right.
And how much does it cost?
Yeah, right. Somebody should read this to me, right?
Lord, for that amount of money, yeah.
No doubt. And so, but this is the thing about the difference in the Bible versus any other book. Mm. It's a living, active word that penetrates our heart and spirit. It divides our thoughts and attitudes of our heart. It's living, it's active.
Yes.
It's not like just some dictionary or
no,
something.
No, the author comes with the book.
Exactly. So when we're not reading, one in five, basically 4 in 5 are not reading the Bible all the way through. that they are not having that life in them. They're not having the life of the Word.
Yeah.
And there's life in the Word of God, you know? What else are they saying?
Well, they're saying that 10% of the respondents read none of the Bible, 13%...
So they're not reading...
anything at all.
Okay, so 10%...
are not reading anything at all.
Wow. Of these respondents.
Correct.
I think the number's higher than that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, of the respondents.
Okay.
13% said they only read a few sentences. Okay.
Isn't that what's on the signs in front of churches, those few sentences?
Just a quick blur.
Wow, okay.
30% said they knew of several passages of stories.
Which is something that happened.
David and Goliath, nativity.
Noah and the ark.
Noah and the ark.
Moses and the ark.
That's enough.
I know.
And how many animals? Right.
I know. I was just joking. Don't write to us. I knew it was Moses.
12% read almost all of it. So 12% of the respondents almost read all of it. But overall, this is what they found. Only 20% of the respondents said that they read the entire Bible. She said, that's it.
This makes sense because, you know, when America was first founded, the first book printed by Congress and distributed was the Bible.
Yeah.
And the reason why you went to college, I believe it was Harvard and Yale.
Oh, yeah.
You had to memorize, you had to read the scriptures, and you had to understand it because America's laws are based on Judeo-Christian principles out of the Word of God. I mean, some of the phrases that we use today, they're biblical phrases. When you think about the prudent man, and you think about, you know, the balanced scales, and you think about justice.
Pick up the Noah Webster Dictionary of 1828, and it's filled with scriptures.
We'll make sure that we have a link available to
that. It's amazing.
You're very right. And so you think about, even sanctuary cities. You know, we had a program on sanctuary cities, but it's the Word of God. If you're not reading the Word of God about it, you don't realize that God's in the sanctuary cities. But He has a different definition for what a sanctuary city is. And it'll kind of give you insight if you're a mayor, if you're a city council person, and you want to know how God would run a sanctuary city. He's into it, but He's into it differently than things that we're seeing take place in America.
Yeah. This is what one of the executive directors of Lifeway Research said. He said, most Americans don't know firsthand the overall story of the Bible because they rarely pick it up.
Wow.
Said the small percentage of Americans who have read all the scriptures is not for a lack of Bibles, because it's reported that 9 out of 10 homes have Bibles in their homes.
9 out of 10.
And the average amount of Bibles that they have at home are 3. Bibles.
3 Bibles. Plus the digital versions are...
Everybody has it.
Everybody has it.
They have access to it at least.
Wow.
So they continued this research when they asked the question...
Think about this. More people were hungry for the Bible when they didn't have it.
Mm.
But now that we have multiple copies of it, any way you can get it, it's like information overload. And because when things are so accessible, sometimes you take them for granted, or it's like it'll be there. And it's like there could be a book burning overnight. There could be it happens. They're making things illegal in the European Union right now about different things about God's word and speaking freely. And and Russia's having laws passed where you can't evangelize people publicly.
How about in China? We saw a video of Chinese believers receiving Bibles for the first time and how they cherished it and began to cry when they actually got it in their very own copy.
Yeah, Brian Wilson just told me this Sunday maybe that there was this one man that had one page, the book of Isaiah. That's all he had his whole life. And he won a multitude of people through this one page.
One page.
And so he comes back to America and he looks at a pastor that has the whole Bible, and he grabbed the Bible and he hugged the Bible, Brian said, and he said that, you have the whole Bible. You must have won millions of people to the Lord. Is that convicting or what? And it's like, sometimes, you know, the feeling of like you're going to lose it. And people gave their life, you know, Tyndall.
And
I was just listening to a program that we did in America, how we got here and how we stay here. You need to hear that. You need to go to VFNTV.com and go to the Torch and listen to that, because that whole journey, people paid a huge price to get the Word of God in their hand, which the consequence of that, the benefit was that, is America was going to happen because they got the Word of God.
It's so important, and it makes me think about what's happening right now in Washington, D.C. with Hobby Lobby, the founders of Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
They actually personally had the very largest Bible artifact collection
in
the world.
Antiquities, yeah.
Yeah, and so now they've actually opened up, or are about to open, the very first Bible museum in Washington, D.C., and it's state-of-the-art. It's amazing.
I'm grateful for that, but it concerns me the fact that the Bible becomes a museum item.
Yeah.
People all of a sudden start saying, there's dinosaurs, and over here you can see them, because they got, you know, the Smithsonian Institute across the street.
Sure.
And then, I mean, because some of the stats are saying the way that they see the Bible is that way. That it is an antiquity. It is a historical document. And it is, but it's more than that. It's living. It's active. I'm glad. I appreciate what you're doing.
I know what you're saying.
But it was like, just because it's in a museum, it still needs to be in your heart.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, they asked this question. When asked to name the reasons why people don't read the Bible,
okay.
They had some very interesting things to say.
So these are reasons. These are reasons why they don't read. They said that these people who
these respondents.
Okay.
27% said they simply don't prioritize it.
Wow.
27%.
Well, that's kind of life in general, isn't it, for folks? And the reason why businesses fail is because the priorities.
Yeah.
It's one thing we try to do at VFN Kingdom Business is to be able to you can find out more at vfnkb.org, but it's a strategy, especially today with so much stuff hitting us. How to strategize and prioritize your day. Because there's just, you could do 1,000 things. It's amazing with today's technology. You could be so busy doing 20, 30 things, but you haven't done what's most important.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach that. It's actually for you. You can have it. It's value-based vision management. It's for all of our VFNKB partners. And it's real simple to become one. Just go to vfnkb.org and you can find out the details. But you need to learn how to prioritize your life, because if you're not prioritizing God, you're not prioritizing anything.
Yeah.
You know?
And oftentimes what happens is what matters least always compromises the things that matter the most.
It's always.
Like, you got to make sure you get the big rocks in.
Yeah, totally.
Well, the other thing they said is that 15% said that they don't have time to read it. This is another reason why they don't read the Bible.
So everybody has 24 hours, right?
Everybody, last time I checked.
So when Jesus was walking the earth, did he have a different clock?
I don't think so.
How about Daniel?
Nope.
About Moses?
Mm-mm.
So they had the same 24 hours.
Same 24 hours.
We have so many distractions
that
suck our time up.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest things is comfort, convenience, and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Things that people go, I have to watch. That's a ball game. What do you mean you got to watch that ball game?
That's
not
right.
Bringing anybody up any personal.
Oh, no.
Right. That's a football game or baseball. And so, we're busying ourselves. And I'm always conscious of that about, you know, what's taking my time.
Yeah.
And people that are using their time for nothing will actually engage in your time and start using your time up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you got to really focus on it. You got to grab time and force it to be in compliance with your destiny and what God's called you to do. And if you're not thinking you have enough time for the living, active word that's going to give you the secrets of life and how to actually live your life and the wisdom to run your business and marriage and family and government, you're missing out on the secret reality of God, the kingdom secrets.
And the truth is, I think, and I'd love to hear your opinion, but if you're saying that you don't have time to read the Bible, I think you're probably just in denial, you know?
Yeah.
There are some other things that really need to be addressing, because the truth is that if you want to read the Bible, we do the things that we want to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so,
but don't you think, too, I know we got to go to break, but don't you think that if you don't tell me the value in the Word, if you're preaching to me everything but how this Word's going to change my life, it's going to divide my thoughts and my attitudes of my heart, it'll let me understand even myself, that you'll be blessed by hiding this word in your heart. You'll be a different person.
Well, you'll know God.
Yeah, you'll know God. Not only that you'll know about the Bible, but you'll know about the God of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only book that comes with the author.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and listen, we got more we're going to share with you about that. As a matter of fact, we have statistics about how do people describe the Bible? And you think, well, everybody describes it like me. It's not. There's a whole bunch of different ways people describe it. And that's why I was concerned about when I looked at the stat and putting the Bible in a museum, how people begin to describe it as a historical document, which it is, but it's so much more than that. But join us at the break and we'll show you. Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFNTV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We have people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to vfntv.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to youtube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well.
And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new material's put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
His scoring skills are on a fast break of their own, quick enough to earn Steph a reputation as the NBA's greatest shooter ever. But of all the shots that the Billboard Wonder treasures, it's the sure shot that anchors his soul.
I've learned well from my parents. They set a very, very high standard of who you are, what you believe, and how Jesus can work through you on a daily basis should be at the forefront, and that should be able to navigate you through whatever, you know, life situation you're in, and to not be ashamed of that.
His dad, Del Curry, played 16 NBA seasons. Growing up in a basketball family gave Steph a nurturing model shared among teammates. The brotherhood that is on this team runs deep, and we know there are a lot of guys that are similar in faith. How does the Christianity, the brotherhood among brothers, play into that?
You ask anybody in their walk of faith, it's all about finding accountability partners and finding people that can encourage you in your walk. Knowing nobody's perfect, we all have very similar, you know, temptations, struggles through our entire walk of faith. So for us and on the court, you know, we all grind and compete on the floor. So why not grind and compete in our spiritual, you know, walk together as well?
The overlap for both player and person becomes intentional.
We have a group chat, we call it the discipleship group, where we share Bible verses every single day and kind of do a Bible study through text message. And, you know, every game day, we have 10, 11 guys, you know, show up for the 30-minute Bible study and prayer service. Daily encouragement, that's the biggest thing.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are talking about a Lifeway Christian bookstore did a survey.
A poll, yes.
A poll. And out of the people surveyed, we're talking about now, you got to see this, is how do they describe the Bible?
Mm.
How do people describe the Bible? John, what are they saying?
Well, the highest percentage of people, the way they responded said, 52% said it was a good source of morals.
Right. Mm-hmm.
52%.
So you're looking at, I can see it on the graph.
Yeah,
right there.
52%.
So we just had an earlier program with all these artificial intelligence companies coming together, Elon Musk, Facebook, Microsoft, Bill Gates, and other ones, and they're wanting to find the number one issue they're going to deal with about artificial intelligence is morals.
We can solve their dilemma.
Yes.
We could just send them a copy of the Bible, and they can figure it out.
52% of the people surveyed understands that's where you're going to find the morals, what's right and what's wrong, what's moral and immoral. It's important because
it's encouraging.
We have a program, you got to check it out, you know, law versus
morality.
And it's the first thing we're taught in law enforcement, that just because it's legal don't mean it's moral, and just because it's moral doesn't mean it's legal.
Yeah.
And so they don't necessarily have to cross. And we as Christians, and look, I mean, they're looking for AI. They're looking for morals. I mean, their first number one thing on their agenda is how do you morally use artificial intelligence? The only way you're going to find that, other than making up your own morals, is through
the
Word of
God.
And so this is why it's so important. What else are some of the ways they see it?
38% describe the Bible as a historical account. 38%.
See, that's why I was concerned about putting the Bible in a museum, because they go, oh, that's so, I saw the dinosaurs, and I saw the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
Right? Antiquity.
Yeah. Hopefully it would inspire more people to read the Bible, not just look at it from a
historical a living document. Yeah,
absolutely.
How else?
37% consider it helpful for today.
That's me. I can imagine. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
No, I mean.
I mean, that's, and it's every day. You know, every day. It's not I got to read the Bible,
right,
but it's I get to.
You know, a lot of people, it's overwhelming at first, especially if you're around a whole bunch of people who profess to be Christians that never even touched their Bible.
But when they try to tell you about it.
Yeah, tell you. Oh, yeah. They'll argue with you about it. But, you know, they want to do it. Maybe you want to do it, but you just don't have a plan. Well, guess what? we have a plan that we want to give you for free. It's a simple plan. It's not complicated. A lot of things you see out there are so complicated. Mm-hmm. It's a simple plan that even children are able to do it. It's abiding with God. Jesus said in John 15, the book of John, chapter 15, he said this. He says, you can do nothing outside of abiding with him. But if you abide in me and I abide in you, he says, you can do anything. Everything is possible. And so that's spending time with God. Part of that is reading scripture. And you can combine that in an abiding experience with God. It does take a long time, but we have a plan for you. It's free. It's right there for you. It's at iabide.org. Like you have an iPad, an iPhone, iTalk, iNotes. Now you have an iAbide. It's at iabide.org. You fill out the little simple information, and right away it comes to you immediately in your email, and you can immediately begin to abide. It's step by step how to do it, and it will just change your life forever. That's how we're able to do television and seven mountains and
exactly.
All the things that we do. It's amazing.
Exactly.
Because we spend that abiding time with the Lord, and out of the overflow of that, you know, that we're able to do this. And so Bible reading is a part of abiding. It's not all of abiding. So once you understand, I'm not just going to read my Bible and intellectually experience it, but I'm going to experience God when I'm reading.
And that's
it.
The key is experiencing yeah. God. It's an invitation
right.
to know him more.
Right.
And it's not so much about the quantity, how much you read, but it's
right.
about what you're reading and allowing, you know, that the Word of God to really speak to your heart.
So I would encourage you to go to iabide.org and get that. And I want to continue this, but I just thought about you.
Oh,
know,
yeah.
That's so important.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Continue on with this poll. 36% describe the Bible as true. This is the respondents, the ones that they surveyed. And so we'd like to have seen that number higher. We know that it's true. But
it's 36%. It's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, God is truth. Mm. I mean, if God looked at a green tree and he said, that tree's brown, guess what?
It's brown.
It's brown. As a matter of fact, Jesus walked past a fig tree that didn't have any fruit on it, had leaves on it, and he said, that tree will not bear fruit again.
Mm.
And once that happened, it just shriveled up and it went away. And that was within 24 hours. They were just mesmerized by that. Let's cover these stats real quick.
Sure. 35% considered it life-changing. 34% considered it a story. 14% considered it outdated, 8% bigoted, 7% harmful, 11% not sure, and 3% none of these.
Well, listen, you can change that in your life today. You can say, you know, I'm going to go to the store, or I'm going to download on my phone the Bible, and I'm going to begin to abide with the Lord, reading the Word, hiding His Word in our heart, talking to God, listen to what He says, and do what He impresses on you to do. And you can find that simple plan at iabide.org. You can change this. You cannot be a part of the negative aspect of the statistics, but the positive part of it. But I want to pray with you. We're about to close out in the program. I just want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just thank you for our audience that are watching and listening, Lord. I pray for encouragement in their abiding time with you, Lord God, that they wouldn't look at the world and evaluate how they are. They would look at you and say, you know what? That God loves me. God's got a plan for my life. I want to spend time with Him. God, I just pray that they would begin to abide with you and you with them, Father God, and their life would just be so joyful and fruitful, God. And Lord, we ask you, we know that abortion is immoral, the killing of children in the womb. So, Lord, we ask you that you would stop
yes.
abortion in this land. God, that you would send revival, that you would send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You need to know in whom you believe. You need to know God. It's not enough to know about Him, to know of Him, but you have to walk with Jesus. You have to have an intimate relationship. Because we're entering a season that's going to be some of the worst of times, but at the same time, there's going to be some of the best of times, and you're going to need to know God. You're not going to be able to, as maybe you've heard said, play church, if you will, as if you could. You're going to need to know him. And so we want to encourage you now. This is the best day. Today is the day of salvation, and we want to encourage you that if you are a believer, begin an abiding relationship with the Lord. What is that? That's when you spend time with God, you read his word, and you allow his word to penetrate your heart. And when it does that, it transforms your life. You walk together with God. You walk united with him. We have a simple plan for you, and you can get it. It doesn't cost you a thing. At iabide.org. Go there today. Go there today and sign up for this free plan. And it's kind of a roadmap to help you on a day-to-day basis begin to start setting, you know, that time with God as a priority. And as you do that, it's amazing what God will reveal to you, what he will show you. I mean, children are abiding, and that God's saying some of the most amazing things to them, and they're writing it down. So you just don't want to miss it.